Presbyterian Fellowship as we are here addressing Abraham's concerns, the servant's suggestion that if there is a female that will not follow him back to Canaan, if he should come back and get Isaac and return with him back to the woman self in that particular geographical location in Mesopotamia. And Abraham, he stonewalls him, adamantly makes very clear that if he has any respect for life in and of itself, for his own life as well as others, not to do so. Not if you value your life, i.e. beware lest you take my son back there. And this looks at the doctrinal importance that is being emphasized in regards to acquiring a right opposite number for Isaac. And that is maintaining spiritual priorities, both geographically and directly, in regards to applying the doctrine of separation otherwise in one's life. And for the servant to take Isaac back, he puts all in jeopardy spiritually, ultimately, obviously, ending sin into death, in regards to the dangers of his action, if obviously it wasn't corrected otherwise. And 85 there, to engage in such action as to remove God's heir from the parameters of the covenant terms, is to be in opposition to the very one under whose authority the very oath is bound, that is the Lord, the God of heaven. Again, as it harks back to the original conditions of oath swearing to Yahweh, the God of heaven and God of earth. 86 here, Yahweh's title is shortened simply to the God of heaven, and that highlights the spiritual realm, reign, and that importance in the matter at hand, that spiritual priorities take precedence over physical situations otherwise. And it's not the issue of the most important thing is finding the spouse. The most important thing is staying aligned to God's word and God's will for one's life. So 87, Abraham's notation. The covenant recalls his own experiences with his family and his own experience of extraditing himself from their clutches. Who took me from my father's house and from the land of my relatives. So that draws upon his experience, who took me. At 88, God in grace delivered Abraham from his father's house and from his homeland. Father's house is the house of his father, Bayith Av in the Hebrew. 89, he left them completely, if you will, in that sense, when his father died, sin unto death, as we saw in that situation, in Haran, and came to the land promised to him and his descendants. 90, he harbored no lingering desires to go back and associate himself with their version of spirituality. He didn't want to go back to that camp. In that situation, God delivered him out of it to begin with. Why would he go back, if you will, to a previous situation that God made clear he didn't want him in? And that is as it is regards to not applying separation in one's life, or applying it and then start rationalizing and falling back into the old mindset of association otherwise. And he left. He didn't apply separation immediately, as he should have. God intervening and killed his father, that motivated him to pack up and keep on going, keep moving on in regards to his spiritual life. This is obviously his spiritual life, his adventure in life. See, of his whole ordeal of leaving Ur of the Chaldees and going to Canaan and all that's associated with it. And he obviously harbors no desires, has no inclination to go back and associate himself with that situation again, as his family were believers, but they were corrupt, if you will, in regards to their phase two orientation. He knows the inherent dangers of associating with reversionists, and there are draw upon even positive volition, and is adamant that he will not place his son in that situation. The effect that his father had on him was of such, in a negative sense, that they went a little ways. His dad decided to settle down there, and he settled with him. So he influenced. And to release oneself from that hold was a real pressure in his life, as it is for people. And he doesn't want to see Isaac in that situation. And obviously, he doesn't want to place himself back in that situation where he's got to turn around and cut ties all over again. And he knows the dangers of being in union and association with negative volition. 92, he has first-hand experience of conflict for failure to separate. Example, situation with Lot. That separation, it came about because conflict arose between them. He still didn't make the application completely, even after God killed his father. And he kept his nephew Lot with him. How did that work out for him? Conflict. And that's what happens when you have negative and positive volition together. Eventually, conflict will ensue. Derision, division, schism. And it all begins in the thought processes. The aspect of like-minded, obviously, conflict can arise otherwise because simply of the nature of the SCA. But with Bible doctrine, one has a common boundary, a common guideline, a common peace accord to appeal to for reconciliation to come about when you are like-minded, even though one or both parties may get under SCAs. Again, fellowship, come to your senses doctrinally. Well, this is a doctrine. Yeah. Who's ever wrong? Usually it's in a mixture of both. When situations like that arise, make the adjustments, move on. But when you have one who is not with the same goals and paths in life, and Lot obviously did not. He was all about the money. He was about the business, you see. And we saw where he ended up at. So he has first-hand experience of being tied in with negative volition, believers as they may be, but not with the same interests and orientation to God's plan. First one caused him to stumble, really, in a big way. God graced him out. The second one, conflict arose, and he sought for what it was. And finally, he made the separation. You pick your path wherever you want to go. I mean, that's someone who's ready to get rid of his nephew. Choose. Get the hell out of Dodge, would you? Just choose. Go somewhere. That's the idea that we saw in that regard. 93, he, here being Abraham, would rather live and die in a land that was not yet his than return to a place where spiritual interests would be neutralized, that is, abandon God's geographic and directive wills. To put himself back in a situation where his spiritual life is put in jeopardy and ultimately become neutralized. And he would rather endure as a nomadic, in a nomadic lifestyle, as a foreigner, deal with his own SCA, his wife, etc., and family, as it is, to put himself back in that situation. Hebrews 11:15. And indeed, if they had been thinking to that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. In other words, your SCA can get you misacclimated, maladjusted in regards to your niche, and all of a sudden you start thinking about your previous life, lifestyle, associations, and thinking of this nature. And so it was in regards to early patriarchs. With the testing, etc. I mean, they had their testing, famine. They had to endure a famine. Abraham did, as well as the others. And obviously we saw what he maladjusted the first time around on that one, etc. We have our problems. We all have to grow up. But ultimately, he recognized that this is where God wanted him. This is God's directed will for him. And now he's at a point and place in his life spiritually he definitely is not going to dwell on these types of things. He's going to keep his eyes focused in regards to doctrine and all that God promised him in that respect otherwise. He considers that a lot better off than going back being back with his relatives otherwise, see, and leaving God's geographical will. 94, to go back or let Isaac return, even for the briefest of visits, was for him out of the question, as it constituted an insult to the one who had called him to a better position. God does these things in life, get people on doctrine, all the grace and other aspects that are attributed in regards to our Christian life, to get them in tune with doctrine, and then to turn around and to abandon that. Insulting. He's made it clear through the truth that this is where he's supposed to be. For Abraham, verbally, it was communicated to him by God. Today it's verbally communicated to each of us through the truth of Bible doctrine. See? To abandon God's geographical will, directive will, etc., truly is an insult. And that is because God has our best interests in mind. And all we're doing when people bolt and leave Bible class is say, I don't want the best. I'm going to settle for what I can get in time. See? The second best, what the cosmos has to offer, than what you have to offer. So to go back or let Isaac return, even for the briefest of visits, was for him out of the question, as it constituted an insult to the one who had called him to a better possession. Point 95. This is reflected in the fact that God even confirmed his promises to Abraham with an oath, as stated here, who swore to me. He made a promise to Abraham. He swore on himself. Couldn't swear on anything higher. See? Asher Sheba Lamad. Lamad. He swore on himself. And God goes to that extent to promise him these things, to walk away. Well, that is pretty much an insult. 22:16-18. The angel Yahweh speaking to Abraham. By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Obviously, that test, that example, shows you exactly where Abraham is at spiritually. He was not willing to put even a closest possession, his one uniquely, if you will, in his case, begotten son, before God's plan, to fulfill God's plan for his life. Because of that level of positive volition, God is able to then swear on himself as he reads it. Based on this condition of having this kind of positive volition, indeed I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is on the seashore, your seed shall possess together their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Obedience to doctrine. 96, his ancestral home and family before his call has nothing to do with what he came to be all about. Family members will beg to argue differently. You're what you are because of us. Things of that nature. No. A person is what they are because of their volition. What they choose to be. And truly, negative volition had nothing to do with blessing Abraham, apart from being a test in his life. It was God who blessed him. And all that was there before, in Abraham's mind, they're dismissed as being any aspect in regards to God's plan for his life and all the blessings that he experienced and became a part of his life, both in time as well as eternity. It's because he left it. That's why he got blessed. It's because he left it. See, he embraced God. And obviously, with the servant's suggestion, that suggestion is completely out to lunch in his mind and in his thinking. No way can this occur. You rob Isaac of all blessing. I know. I've been there. See, that's what people on doctrine, been there for a while, will maybe exhort younger people on doctrine, say, been there, done that. And it's all of them say, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all vanity. So, anyway. 97, that these principles were so embedded in Abraham's frame of reference, anchored in faith, obviously active faith, phase two faith, he is absolutely confident that God will bless his efforts in making the applications with respect to Isaac and otherwise provide protection as needed. He implements the doctrine, says God will take care of the rest. That's what it all boils down to. Implement the doctrine, God will take care of the rest. And it's just one of those things that we all have to grow up with and grow up about in regards to faith resting and putting truly our trust in God to keep before us the thing that's most all important, and that is our orientation to MPR and application of Bible doctrine in our lives. God will fill in the blanks. Abraham is so confident in regards to these doctrines. He commissions the servant, go out, go here, make sure these doctrines are applied. God will take care of the rest of it. So, for those who are waiting on potential mate for one of these days, there you are. There's your doctrine. Just keep doing what you're doing. Hang in there with Bible doctrine. God is fully aware of everything. And he has fully prepared everything. necessary to bring one's right opposite number to them. Again, the real mind blower for one who's really thinking about this is Isaac. He doesn't lift a finger. Of course, Rebecca, she's totally ignorant.